Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Why don't you put your hands together for sister, or is it sisters? Sister. All right. That was beautiful. You're looking very gorgeous in your nice dress with the puffy sleeves. It works beautiful. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray, please. Father, we are grateful to you this morning. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you for your house. Thank you for the company of believers. I pray in the name of Jesus at this important and special time when we have an opportunity to hear your word. We pray that you speak to us and bless us mightily. In the mighty name of Jesus have we prayed. Let everybody say, amen. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. All right. I must definitely finish this series on consistency with a Christian experience. And so we're going to go right into it. We've established that without consistency, you cannot do well in anything that you set out to do. Is that not so? And in every area, in every aspect of life, consistency is very key. If you see people who are successful at something, one of the major reasons why is because they've been consistent at it. And businesses that succeed, businesses that flourish, are businesses that those involved in them have been doing it for a very, very long time. They've stuck with certain practices, with certain principles, with a certain focus. And with the process of time, things have worked out well for them. I can see where your life is concerned also, that if you're consistent in any good thing that you set out to do, you also flourish and things will go well for you. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So where the Christian life is concerned also, for us to do well, for us to flourish, and for us to progress, it is important for us to be consistent. And we've summarized consistency as an attitude or a posture that you have. You set out to do something and you stick with the principles, the practices, the behavior, the attitude, the routines that will help you to achieve that thing without quitting. That means you never quit. You stay with the thing till what you have set ahead of you to do, you see it being accomplished. All right, so there are key areas to do with our Christian experience that it is important we achieve consistency in. What is the first area, please? Now, don't go dumb on me. What's the first area? Prayer and waiting on God. Number two, consistency in reading and meditating on the Word of God. Number three, you must be consistent in thanking God, praising God, and worshiping Him. And then the fourth one, fellowshipping with other believers. Well done. That's where we got to, right? Oh, we did number five. All right. Which is what? Serving God and working for Him. Did we do number six? Yes or no? We didn't do number... Hey, Adam, what about me? demonstration visa. So the six key area that we must establish consistency in is walking in humility and obedience. Walking, yes, whatever you are saying is true. So we must walk in humility and obedience. Lift up your hand and say with me, by the grace of God, I will be consistent in obedience and humility. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to 6. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you dress yourselves in humility. All of you do what? Dress yourselves in humility. Now, if you've dressed yourself in something, it means that when you approach or when you come close, we should see that thing. Is that not so? Now, you see that the sisters are dressed in beautiful purple. So as soon as they removed their robes, we saw what they were wearing and we realized that it was very nice. Isn't it so? So humility is something that we are supposed to wear. And from the very tone of the scripture, it means that we must wear it all the time. You dress in it. So every time, the dress that you should have on must be what? Humility. So it says, and all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. It's important to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that lifting up comes from the Lord. Amen. The Bible says that promotion in Psalm 75 verse 6, that promotion does not come from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. And then verse 7, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Why will God put down one and set up another? Because He's God and He's sovereign. Amen. And He said, it is not of him that willeth, neither is it of him that runneth, but it is of God who showeth mercy. And as you move through this Christian experience, make allowance and provision for the sovereignty of God. Anything that you want, anything that you're believing God for, allow that important factor into the equation. Because the sovereignty of God is key to a lot of things. Now, there are things that you can do in order to be blessed. But I want to establish very clearly to you today that there is also that element of the sovereignty of God where He decides what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, how He wants to do it, and with whoever He wants to do it. Hallelujah. But understand as you live your life that lifting up and promotion actually come from God. So there's a song we sing. Key Benna. Jing. Humble yourself by the side of the Lord, in the side, and He will lift you up. Humble yourself in the side of the Lord, and He will lift you up. 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 Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up.
you up. He will lift you up. He will lift you up. Oh, humble yourself in the sight of God. And what will he do? And he will lift you up.
Hallelujah. And so if you want to experience the lifting up of the Lord in your life, what must you to do? What must you to do? Humble yourself. And if you want to experience more and more and more of the lifting up and the elevation of the Lord, you must have more and more and more of any idea. Humility. Hallelujah. So it is something that as a child of God and as a Christian, you must operate in consistently. And anytime you sense that any pride is trying to enter or set in, address it urgently. Address it very urgently. Why? Because the Bible says God opposes the proud. And elsewhere we are told that pride goes before a fall. And there are some signs of pride that we must watch out against. Now, one of the clear signs of pride is if we can no longer be corrected. If we can no longer be rebuked. If nobody can advise us any longer. If we develop an attitude when something is being pointed out to us, it is a sign of pride. If you cannot relate well with everybody, high or low, great or mighty, it is a sign that there is pride. If you feel that certain things are above you and you cannot do certain basic things, it is a sign of pride. And there are so many of them. But we must understand that in this Christian experience, the way we need God, it is important to walk in humility all the time so that he will always be with us. I mean, can you imagine that it is God himself who is opposing you? And I always say that Abrabona Edendida. I mean, yourself, baby, is it not difficult? Life. Why do you think they say Obrayeko? It's a battle, it's a struggle, and it's not easy as it is. Now, can you imagine that there is now an other dimension where God himself is opposing you? Do you understand what I'm saying? God himself is opposing you. So, Asher, Philip will come. So, try going here. And God, so in this case, I am God, okay? With all respect. God is opposing you. How would there be progress? Thank you very much. How would there be progress? How would there be advancement? How would things work out for you if God himself is opposing you? It's not been easy with the devil. It hasn't. And now God himself is standing against you. Please, I don't want problems. And I don't think you want problems either. So we must make up our minds that in this Christian experience, we are going to walk in humility all the time. And one of the prayers that we should pray for, one of the prayers we should pray is that God, help me to walk in humility all the time. Hallelujah. Let's look at another scripture, please. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. And this time I want to read from the Good News Translation. It says, if you obey the Lord your God and faithfully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, he will make you greater than any other nation on earth. Obey the Lord your God and all these blessings will be yours. Let's take a look at the blessings. Next. Now go to the King James Version. I like the way it is framed there. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. That means that wherever you find yourself, you will be blessed. And your blessing will not be dependent on the prevailing economic situations where you find yourself.
Whether the economy is doing well, whether the economy is not doing well, whether the value of your currency is depreciating, whether the value of your currency is not depreciating, whether the inflation is soaring high, whether the inflation is swimming low, it doesn't change anything for you. You are blessed. May that be the story of your life. Next verse. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. That means that your children will be blessed. Your children will not bring you shame and reproach. Your children will do well and excel wherever they find themselves. May they not bring a report card to you where in a class of 43, they were 42 and a half. No. That will not be the story concerning your children. Hallelujah. And they will turn out well. And they will become noble men and women in the society. In the name of Jesus. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. That means anything, any creature connected to you will be blessed. So you have to really be very careful about this blessing. Because it means that anything around you will be blessed, including the lizards, the frogs, the cockroaches, and all this. Look, this blessing, may the mice in town have a meeting and arrive at an agreement that we are going to this man's house, because that is where the blessings are. You are wondering whether to say amen or not, did you see? By the way, I can't find my cat. Have you found him? I can't find my cat. Forgive, where's my cat? Because there are some people who are into cat stew. So I must look at them with suspicion. Say Ram. Easter Monday. My cat has been arrested toward Easter Monday. I'm watching you closely. And every meat that you bring for the picnic, I'm going to scrutinize it. Because if I see my cat's meat, I will see it. Amen. So the blessings go on and on and on. But you will notice that there is a condition attached to the blessings. And that's the first part of it. It says, if you obey the Lord your God and faithfully keep all his commands, then these blessings will come upon you. Which means that one of the things we should strive for and do everything that we can to do is to walk in obedience. Let's give it our best shot. Look, if you even fail at something that you're trying to do, it should not be from want of trying. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm saying that let's set it upon our hearts, upon our minds, that we would do everything that we can to obey God. That means that we want to achieve consistency in our level of obedience. And when we do that, all these beautiful blessings that I mentioned and many more will become a feature of our lives. Lift up your hand and say, I receive these blessings as I walk in obedience. Hallelujah. Let's move on to number 7. The 7th key area of our Christian experience that we must achieve consistency in is doing what is good and living right. Doing what is good and living right. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 to 10. Galatians 6 verse 9 to 10. New Living Translation, please. It says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. Now, if you are not to get tired from doing what is good, it means that you must do good how often? Consistently. Consistently. It continues, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Tell your neighbor, it pays to do good. Especially when you do good to me. So don't stop doing me good. You'll be smiling. Hallelujah. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to who? To who? To everyone. Every opportunity that we have. And as for the opportunities, we will have them all the time. There is no single day that will pass by when you wouldn't have the opportunity to do good to somebody. And the Bible says to everyone, not just to one person or two people. Amen. But to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. So we must be consistent in doing what is good. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 13. It says, as for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, can you continue reading with me, please? Never get tired of doing good, which means you must do good consistently. Psalms 106 verse 3. The Bible says, there is joy for those who deal justly with others and always do what is right. It means that they do what is right consistently. And then Micah chapter 6 verse 8 reveals to us what God wants us to do. Once we know what he wants us to do, we must make it our aim to do those things consistently. Let's read Micah chapter 6 verse 8 together. Let's read it. Alright, let's take it together. Ready, go. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you. Number one, to do what? To do what is right. Number two, to love mercy. And number three, to walk humbly with your God. So if you ever get to a place where you say you don't know what God is expecting you to do, just look for Micah chapter 6 verse 8. He summarized it there. And he's saying that he wants us to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with the Lord our God. Have you seen that humility has shown up again? Yeah. So this is about doing what is good. If you love mercy, you are doing what is good. If you are kind, you are operating in something that is good. So God wants us in our Christian experience to always do good and to do what is right. And now don't say that I don't know what is right. Because you have the Spirit of God inside of you. And God promised that when he gives his Spirit to us, his Spirit will show us. He said that the laws of God will be written on our hearts. That means that anybody and everyone who has the Spirit of God has the laws of God written on his or her heart. And with the Holy Spirit's, you know, revelation and interpretation, you will always know what is right and what is wrong. You don't need anybody to tell you that this is right or this is wrong. Besides all of that, he's given us a conscience to know that this is right and this is wrong. And ladies and gentlemen, as we press on with this Christian experience, we want to strive to be consistent in doing what is good and doing what is right. Can the people of God say an amen to that? Amen. Number eight, and we are inching closer to the end. The eighth key area that we must establish consistency in is having faith and trusting God. Having faith and trusting God. We must be consistent in our faith walk. We must be consistent in having faith in God and in trusting him. Hallelujah. Amen. So, F. I am trusting, trusting, Lord, in thee. I am trusting, 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 Lord, in thee. Do you want to sing it again? Say, I am trusting, trusting, Lord, in thee. I am trusting, 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 Lord, in thee. And we must trust in him consistently, and we must have faith in God consistently. Now, one of the reasons is because without faith, we cannot please God. God is always drawn and attracted to people who have faith in him, especially When there are things trying to bring you down, when there are things that are trying to shake you and cause you to stagger, but you persist and persevere in the faith and the trust that you have in God, it makes you very attractive to Him. Hallelujah. And it must be the goal of every child of God to please Him. And there are very few things that have been clearly identified in the Word of God as things that when we do them, we will be pleasing to God. One of them is faith. So we read other scriptures like Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23 from the Good News Translation. Hebrews 10, 23. It says, "Let us hold on firmly to the hope we profess, because we can trust God to keep His promise." So the scripture says, let us hold on firmly to the hope we profess. Now, how many know that hope and faith are connected? Because what is faith? How would you define faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So whenever we see hope and it's being spoken about in the scriptures, it is connected to faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the Bible says we should hold on firmly to the hope we profess, which means we should hold on firmly to our faith, because we can trust God to keep His promise. Now, when you're holding on firmly to something, it means that anytime we see you, that thing is in your grip. That thing is in your grasp. You're holding on to it. So again, it suggests some consistency. And ladies and gentlemen, where having faith in God is concerned, where trusting God is concerned, we must establish consistency. Isaiah 26 verse 4. Isaiah 26 verse 4. It says, New Living Translation, "Trust in the Lord when? Always. For the Lord God is the eternal rock." Hebrews 10, 35. "So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord." Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. And people, let's keep trusting God. Trust Him. Believe in Him. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on God. He will come through for you. He will not put you to shame. Tell your neighbor, God no go shame us. Say it again, God no go shame us. Now say it with all the conviction you can master. Say it again. God no go shame us. He will not. He will not. Listen, your expectations will come to pass. What you have asked God for, He will perform. All His promises concerning you will be fulfilled. God will come through for you in the very nick of time. Hallelujah! 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 So let's trust Him. Let's have faith in Him consistently. Put your hands together for Jesus. And that leads us to number 9. The last but one key area that we must be consistent in is in soul winning and reaching out to those who are lost. We must be consistent with our soul winning efforts and in reaching out to those who are lost. Matthew 28 verse 19 to 20. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Ladies and gentlemen, this is not just a one-off instruction. It is an instruction that we are expected to carry out all the time, which means consistently. This is what is described as the Great Commission. And I want to disabuse your minds about one thing, that because it was said initially to the disciples who were around, those who were with Jesus just before He ascended, it means that that instruction pertains to them and to them only. That it's like, I wasn't there, Sam. I wasn't there. So how can this be an instruction to me? Now, you'll be treading on dangerous grounds if you start eliminating certain scriptures and excluding yourself from them. Because once you do with this scripture, you have to do with other scriptures. So if you don't want to be part of this, then never let me hear you say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You will want. You will want. If you don't want to be included in the work, don't expect to be included in the blessings and in the benefits. So it is one thing that we must be consistent in, and by the grace of God, we will accomplish it. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2 from the Amplified Bible. It says, herald and preach the word. Alright? Herald and preach the word. To herald something is to spread, is to announce it, is to declare it. And it is connected to the good news. He says, keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready. Now, look at the next sentence. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable. So, whatever we are to do in telling others about Jesus, in winning souls, in helping to disciple them, the Bible is saying that it doesn't matter whether the conditions are favorable or not. That means that it is something that we must do consistently. And the last key area that we must be consistent in is in the area of giving. Everybody say giving. All right, we must be consistent in giving. Now, who do we give to? The Lord, number one. Who else do we give to? Say again. The church, people in the faith. We are supposed to help the brethren. All right, we're supposed to. So, giving is not just limited to one area only. Giving is not just limited to giving offerings and tithes. They are important. But beyond them, we're supposed to give to help and to support others. And let me say that giving is also connected to your gifts or your talents and your abilities, your energy, your time. It's not just money that we give. And God is expecting us in this Christian experience to give consistently, which means give your money, give your offerings, give your tithes, give to help the poor and the needy. Give to help a brother or a sister in need. Give your time. Give your energy. Give your talents. Give your intelligence. Anything that you have. Anything that you are good at. God is expecting you to give it to help in propagating his kingdom. Hallelujah. So in Luke chapter 6 verse 38. It says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaking together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Hallelujah. Obviously, this is not just talking about a one-time giving. It can be. The tone of it suggests giving all the time. So when it says give and it will be given back to you, it suggests that giving must be a consistent practice of your life so that it will be given back to you. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 16 verse 16 to 17, NIV, my last scripture. Deuteronomy 16, 16 to 17. 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place you will choose. At the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of weeks, and the festival of tabernacles. So these were 3 major festivals that everybody was supposed to show up for. But I'm interested in the sentence that follows. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. That was the instruction. That anytime they are coming before the Lord, they must not come empty-handed. Which means that consistently, we must come and we must give to the Lord and present to the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So that's an area that we must see consistency in giving. Remember that where you invest your resources is an indication of where your heart is. Did I say it again? Where you channel your resources, the most of it, is an indication of where your heart is. And I'm emphasizing again that your resources are not just your money, but anything that belongs to you that is of value. Where you channel it. So your strength is your resource. Your time is your resource. Your energy is your resource. And where you channel these things, including your money, it gives an indication of where your heart really is. Because the Bible is emphatic, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if I want to know where your heart is, all I got to do is to find out where you are directing your resources, the most of it. It's a very easy test. Where you're directing most of your resources, show me, reveal to me where your heart is. Now, don't try and twist it and turn what I'm saying to you into something else. Because the scripture is emphatic. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So then, every one of us will have to ask ourselves this question. Where my treasure day? Where? Where have I directed my treasure? What have I given my life to? Look, you can pursue any profession, any agenda of yours. You can. But when we come and sit down and assess you, we should be able to say that your life is first and foremost the Lord's. Before anything else comes into play. And so, God is trying to get us to understand that he's looking. He's weighing us. He's weighing how much of ourselves we give to him. How much of our resources we give to him. He's weighing that against what we channel into other things. So, how will the scales balance at the end of the day? Will it balance in favor of God and the kingdom of God? Or it will balance in favor of ourselves and the wealth system? So, all of us would have to check this. So, ladies and gentlemen, consistency in the Christian experience is very important. This is my fourth week of sharing this message with you. It is my prayer that I have not spoken into the thin air, but that this word will stir up something in all of us, and that there will be a remarkable improvement in our levels of consistency in all these key areas that I've spoken about. Let's run through the key areas again. Number one is prayer and waiting on God. Number two, reading and meditating on the word of God. Number three, thanking God, praising God, and worshiping God. Number four, fellowshipping with the brethren. Number five, serving God and working for him. Number six, walking in humility and obedience. Number seven, doing what is good and what is right. Number eight, having faith and trust in God. Number nine, winning souls and reaching out to those who are lost. And number 10, in giving. Hallelujah. May the Lord add his blessing to the preaching and teaching of his word. And let all the people of God say thanks be to God. Rise to your feet. Put your hands together for Jesus. And let's pray. Can you take about a minute or two and thank God for his word? And I want you to pray sincerely and deliberately. Speak to God about these things that you have heard. Now, I want you to be open before God. And wherever there is a struggle in any of the areas mentioned, I want you to pray for the help of the Holy Spirit to develop consistency in those areas. Lift up your voices and pray to the Lord right now in the name of Jesus. Can we hear the voices of the saints praying? Oh, yes, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for these important truths that we have received about being consistent in the Christian experience. Thank you, Father, for all the different areas that have been revealed to us. Now, Father, we see our failures and our shortcomings, but we thank you that you gave your spirit to help our infirmities. Wherever we are struggling to achieve consistency in any of these key areas, we pray, Father, for help from above in the mighty name of Jesus. May we see tremendous improvement in how much time we give to you, reading your word, meditating on the scriptures, praying, thanking you, worshiping you, praising you, fellowshipping with the brethren, doing what is good and doing what is right, in giving, winning souls and reaching out to the lost, in having faith in you and trusting in you, In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Walking in humility and obedience. We pray, Father, help us to attain consistency in all of these areas. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wouldn't like to end today's service without giving you an opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. There are many decisions that you can take in this life, but I dare say that the most important one is what you decide to do with Jesus. Who is He? He's your Savior. He's the lover of your life and the lover of your soul, the Savior of your life and the Savior of your soul. Today, He's asking you for an opportunity to come into your heart and into your life and to make your life beautiful. And today I would like to pray with you. And as every head is bowed, every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe you are watching us right now. I don't know what time you logged in. You're watching us, but you realize that I don't really know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I want to pray with you. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, can you lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you this morning, afternoon kind of. All right. God bless you. Now, let's all join in this prayer, including those of you who have lifted up your hands. You are at home. I can't see you, but God can see you right where you are. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Forgive me, Lord, for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus and make me brand new. From today, I am yours. You are mine. I will serve you. I will live for you for the rest of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.